Let's bring in TK. What's up,
buddy? What's up, y'all?
Yeah, Trista couldn't wait. She was tweeting. She was ready. She's got the little baby microphone in her hand. She got the accessories on. We ready to cook.
What's up, y'all? What's good?
Okay, let's get...
I feel like the Dennis Schroeder era.
Perfectly fine with it.
It's whatever.
Perfectly fine with it.
You guys were tweeting. Me. Speaking of people who are tweeting, y'all were tweeting.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often, but like... I just thought there were some things to be discussed. Like, I think sometimes in the sports media world, it's not real unless you put it on social media. Mm. We've been telling people for weeks, like, I think Malik is gone. And they were so stunned. Man, that's a kick in the balls to your ego, too. Like, y'all ain't listening to us? We've been telling you, like, I think Malik is gone. Understandably, fan base didn't handle that particularly great, especially because at least at the time it was tied to Dennis Schroeder. I don't know if it's still tied to Dennis Schroeder. I don't know if there are still things being worked out with Detroit, but I certainly thought that was a high probability last night. I like Dennis Schroeder. I always have. I don't care. Like, $15 million per isn't crazy to me. I just think that the Kings got a lot more work to do, and making this a sign and trade to where you open up that mid-level once again would be extremely helpful.
Yeah, I don't hate it either. I think Dennis Schroeder is actually a really good guard. I like him a lot. He's strong. He can shoot. He's tough. He's competitive. Like, you need somebody that can bring the ball up the floor. He's a champion, right? And probably is worth more, or was worth at one point more than the deal that he's ever had since, right? When he turned down that deal from the Lakers in 2021, when I was like, who the F does Dennis Schroeder think he is that he's worth more money than this? And he hasn't been. So I like the pickup. I think there's obviously a lot more to do, a lot more to be done. And I think people obviously are very upset at the Scott Perry era that this is the beginning of it. I mean, I would.
And this
got to
be record time. This has to be record time for which Kings fans have gotten pissed off at the general manager. Like, this is stunningly. I'm tempted to cry racism. It happens.
They had love for Monty early,
man. And that dude signed Hassan Whiteside.
He did.
And Glenn Robinson.
And the Neek move was pretty good. The Neek move was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. There were some wild quotes going out about how well Scott Perry did last week after the trade. But there were people willing to do all kinds of things. But less than a week later. It was major pause. one of the most crazy pauses of all time. But... yeah, I don't know.
TK, we gotta send her that one.
Yeah, we'll send her. We'll send
that
you the clip.
Crazy.
Yeah, we'll send you the clip.
It's crazy.
But you ever wonder why the Kings aren't on ESPN? We're not willing to do that. That's why. I got you, TK.
It was a little Monica Lewinsky-ian.
Well, not far off. Not far off.
As they say, $1.50 for everything.
Man. I'm glad to hear you like Dennis Schroeder, though. I didn't think you were going to like it.
Oh, I mean, Dennis Schroeder, anybody who's watched Dennis Schroeder play in FIBA loves
that guy.
Right. Yeah. He's ridiculous. I like him. I mean, he's not an overpriced player. I don't think he's a player that's like fills the box, you know, fills the stat sheet up just based on like what he does. He's not a... Here's how you know whether it's a player that I like versus like not. Is this a player that's on Kenny's top 10 bucket getters? If he is not on that list, I might like him. If he is on this list, I do not like him.
You don't like offense? You don't like scores?
I love offense, but I like guys who can do both. Pause.
Well, definitely pause that. But not everybody's
going to
be able to. Not everybody's going to be able to do that on a basketball team. I wish you were here last week
players. I don't want Trista the GM doesn't want small undersized guards who cannot defend on the team unless it is filled with athletic defensive minded 3-and-D type wings.
I wish you were around last week when I built the team, and you would have heard like that what you need is you need some scores. So that's why I'm always in constant
you do.
That's why I'm always in constant search for those guys
but
to get
scores,
20.
But scores are easier to find than you would think. That's why Damian Lillard just got waived.
I mean, yeah, but he's Damian Lillard. Like, there's not everybody can. Everybody thinks they can score 25 a night if they have the opportunity. There's a reason why those guys get paid a premium, because you just can't find those type of guys. So you're looking for those guys. But what I said last week is you only need about three or four of them, max, like throughout the whole roster. Once you've got those three or four that can get you like 20 to 25 on any given night, then you can start filling it out with the role players, with the 3-and-D guys, or the guy that just comes in like a Mitchell Robinson and rebounds, or the guy that just defends like Nesmith did. And Nesmith was able to shoot the ball a little bit too. But there's a method behind it. Like, seven scorers doesn't work, but seven role players don't work either. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't have seven, we're just tough, and we just go out there and do the dirty work. You're going to score 50 points a night.
But those dirty work players, those are cheap players. You don't have to pay them a lot of money. And those players actually are harder to find than you would think, especially ones that don't have high egos. Guys like Dyson Daniels, guys like Herb Jones, those guys are hard to find. Guys like Nesmith, hard to find, and also not that expensive. And there's so little of them in the league that are big, athletic, can do multiple things. Nesmith can also rebound his ass off. He can also, you know, get other players involved. So you can always find a disgruntled star to slot in, trade for him when he's upset, and pay him money. You need to build the nucleus first. Unless you're going to go the route of Atlanta where they're like, we can't trade Trey. There is no market for him. Let's just support him the best that we can. I don't believe just getting a bucket getter and seeing if you can fill that the rest of the roster in is a very easy thing to do.
See, I disagree, though, because how many of these Lou Dorts are around? How many of these guys are undrafted? I looked at the exact opposite. If you know what you're doing and you know what you're looking for, you can always find those guys. They go undrafted all the time. Keon Ellis, undrafted. When's the last time you saw an undrafted 25-point-per-game score?
Well, that's what Alex Caruso said. Alex Caruso said everybody can score, and that's why they go to the G League, and they think that their role is to score, but really their role is to be the janitor. That's their role is to, you know, defend hard and rebound. Everybody wants to score. That's what they all want to do. Lou Dort couldn't shoot. Now he can shoot. And if he was shooting 40% from three, he doesn't go undrafted. But also, I agree that there's plenty of talent evaluators that do not know what they're doing on the college and, like, low end. Once they're in the league and known, those players are hard to find and they're valuable.
TK, what would you – we've been trying to figure out the approach for the Sacramento Kings team because it feels like they're kind of stuck in no man's land. What would Trista, the general manager's approach, be with this basketball team?
Unfortunately, probably blow it up. Rid of Sabonis.
Tell me what you think a Sabonis trade looks like.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's exactly. That's there. And you didn't use this word. You said you got to blow it up and start over. But the idea is getting assets back. The idea is putting together a poor basketball team, getting as high draft picks as you can, and I just don't think that works with this team. They have players who are stuck right in the middle. They're good, but they're not great. Great assets collect you draft picks and first-rounders. I said Domas, and LaVine could potentially net you one first-round draft pick, and it would probably be from Domas.
Yeah, it would be definitely from Domas.
I don't think you could get much more than that.
You'd probably have to package Domas with LaVine to get LaVine somewhere else.
That's $100 million worth of salary.
So much. Well, that, you know, there's like 14 trades. They reroute them other places.
Oh, good man. For Domas and LaVine.
It's tough. No, it's a very tough situation. And I think probably, I don't know what Keegan's going to get paid. But I remember sitting in your studio advocating for Keegan to bring you Lauri Markkanen. And I remember getting like, yo, we can't do that. That's insane. And I don't even know if Lauri Markkanen is that good right now because of how bad Utah has been. And I really don't know how to assess or analyze his game on like a competent team or a team that's trying to win. But Keegan's value is definitely different perception-wise than it was when we talked about that 2 years ago. I think it's just like you find as much as you can get. And I'm not going to say that Portland's the perfect model for this because they're not. But if you can't get good value, then you hang on, right? Like Jeremy Grant's not yielding anything back. And so as much as they'd like to trade him, they can't. I think going the way of, and maybe this is hard because this isn't quite a blow up. This is more of like a retool, rebuild. But if you're trying to get off of players, you know, maybe find at least somebody exciting to come back. Like Portland wanted to get rid of Anthony Simons. A lot of people probably don't like the Jrue Holiday move. I do like the Jrue Holiday move. He's a winner. And I think you, once you get a winner in the building, I think that helps a lot, even if they're older, even if they're more expensive. And you try to like have some sort of asset management. Scott Perry's got his work cut out for him. You're right. This is going to be really hard to rebuild, but I don't think you can just duct tape things here and there and find a way back to some sort of relevancy.
Just real quick, the biggest breaking news we might get today is there's a verdict in the Diddy trial.
It
hasn't been announced yet. They said jurors and family are returning to the courtroom. They said the jury has verdicts on count 2, 3, 4, and 5. Count 1 is the RICO charge. They are like a hung jury, I guess, on the RICO charge. I don't know how that works, but they've reached verdicts on 2, 3, 4, and 5, and wasn't a lot of deliberation. So I, we will.
It's an end of an era.
That or is
more
it
more caring, less or, Karen?
Or is it? Oh,
less Karen, more Karen.
Okay. Well, we may find out.
Less freak offs.
Wait, hold on.
More.
Wait, hold on, 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 hold on. The Los Angeles Clippers are waiving center Drew Eubanks, and Eubanks plans to sign with the Sacramento Kings on a 1 year deal after he clears waivers.
I don't hate it.
I like Drew Eubanks.
10-day god, Drew Eubanks. Yeah. Drew Eubanks is a pretty good player.
He is a pretty good player. He's a good little backup center.
He's a good backup. Yeah, he is. He's tough. He's okay. He can get you some minutes.
That's a
eat
move
up some minutes. Like
that's
a
move around the
middle
margins.
Reliever.
It's okay.
Okay. There's not a lot you can do. Okay. You're just
no.
Here's the thing. I think you have to at least know that you got to be really bad. That's number one for at least a little while, or you have to have a franchise player and build around them. And you saw what Detroit did. They were really bad. And they got Cade, and they stayed bad for a few more years. And now we feel confident in them being able to like build something. Atlanta, they were pretty good. Went to the conference finals. Then they were like really bad, just playing. And then they got a competent front office, which I think we can all kind of say, wow, what Atlanta's doing is very interesting. Yeah, they're finding ways on the margins. Like Nickeil Alexander-Walker clearly wanted to go to Atlanta for a reason. But Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a perfect Sacramento King. Not to say that he would want to go there, but like that's a player that's like does a lot of versatile things and is a piece that you can have as a young player who's, you know, we've all been kind of like rooting for Nickeil for a long time. He took a while to hook on. But even if you're rebuilding, he's good. And if you're like a contender, he's good. Now, he probably wants to be on a contender. But I think the moral of that story is if you have a competent front office, even like the Wizards have started to do, you can build things faster than you think. And no man's land isn't forever.
Also, I think a lot of this stuff, especially here in Sacramento, it's not going to happen in one summer. Like,
no.
It's just not. As much as people want it to be that way and want a quick turnaround, it's something that's going to take, you know, a summer or two, you know, to kind of get the type of guys that Scott Perry wants in here, to wait for some of these contracts to either come off the books or get more digestible, to be traded, and locate some other talent around the league. So I want to see, you know, these moves being made, but I'm not expecting them to do something that'll turn them into a 55-win team next season with just this summer. Like I don't look at what's ahead of Scott Perry in that front office that way. So I guess maybe that's, yeah, I think I'm more resigned to the fact of that. And that's why I'm not as angry as other people are, because it's going to take time one way or another.
Yeah, I think you're right. And not to bring it back to Portland again, but even though this has taken many years, more than I think people wanted, it's now been 3 years since we traded Dame, you have at least some guys. Like, think about the Tumani Kamara piece. All of a sudden, he just performs over expectations right away as either a late first or an early second. I forget exactly where he was drafted, but he was a diamond in the rough that performed right away. And you just need to continue to build on those little things and feel like you can have confidence in those who are making the decisions. And as much as a lot of Blazer fans don't like Joe Cronin, I believe in what he's doing. And at least, even if I don't agree, which I do agree, but even if I didn't, I know what the plan is. Everything is sort of fitting in this box of like what type of players they want, who they're going after, and what the vision is for the team. As of now, I haven't seen the vision for what the Kings are looking for, and I'm looking forward to seeing that from Scott.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We're judging this on an incomplete picture. Mm-hmm. And here's the tough part. The picture is not going to be complete today or tomorrow or at the start of the season. Like, we might really start to be able to see this thing unfold by the trade deadline. I doubt it, but as we get into next year and next trade deadline, that's where we'll really start to get a feel for what Scott Perry's doing.
Question for you. If you guys would not have traded De'Aaron Fox at the deadline, mm-hmm, and waited until right now, mm-hmm, how many things would have been so much different? And you can say, well, we thought maybe there was going to be less opportunities for us. I think actually there would have been a lot more opportunities. Is that a 1 year, like, is that on him on an expiring? Does Indiana give you some assets because they still want to contend? Does the Milwaukee Bucks, coming off of a Damian Lillard Achilles
acquiring
injury?
De'Aaron for a year while Tyrese is out is just menacing work.
Right? Right? It's just incredible. But San Antonio probably no longer wants maybe De'Aaron Fox because they bought Dylan Harper. And so everything is different depending on, you know, when you decide to make that move. And I just thought that the impatience level was the reason that the deal came back as one-sided as it felt, right? And I think if you do this deal now in the summer, and I know that hindsight is 2020, there's a lot of places that maybe that's Orlando. You look at Desmond Bane and like what they gave you for him. And I think maybe that's not the same player that they want because he's a little bit undersized and he's not the same type of player. But there's a lot of options that would be interested in him more than just, I'm going to San Antonio. That's the only place I'm going. And screw you if you want to send me anywhere else. Maybe that's Miami. There's a lot of different situations that would have been open now.
Maybe I
hear you. It would be different because Scott Perry would be in control and Scott Perry could execute his vision as he sees fit, rather than allowing, whether it was Monty or Vivek, executing the vision for him, mm-hmm, last February. Here's what I think would happen if De'Aaron Fox was still on the team and Scott Perry was in charge of facilitating this trade. De'Aaron and this fan base would see the lack of a market that he had. That's what I think would happen. You have a player earning, what, $40 million? Who is acquiring De'Aaron Fox going, that's what we need. That $40 million player right there, that's the guy we need to be a championship contender. Because acquiring De'Aaron is a championship move. That is a move. That's the Siakam move. That's the move you're doing to take you to an... Who's doing that? I'm not saying there's no teams out there. I'm saying the idea that there's this big, robust, open market for De'Aaron Fox if he's still the Sacramento King during the summer, I think is just completely false.
I do, too.
I think it is terribly unrealistic.
I also...
The Blair Witch Project is happening at Trista's house right now, for those that aren't watching.
I also think it's more aligned with, not exactly this deal. I don't want to say it's exactly this deal, but it's more aligned that Jordan Poole, CJ McCollum deal. Like, maybe it's a little greater than that. Maybe, you know, you're able... I'll just say that the Kings would get back CJ McCollum and you get that contract, that expiring one player, run rotationary player, maybe first rounder, maybe, and a couple second rounders, be cool too. But yeah, I don't think he was gonna net you, especially with his disposition and his representation, yeah. Disposition.
Yeah,
I don't think people were gonna like. Nah, we've always said this, Trista. I don't think they were going to treat him like Toronto treated Kawhi. Like, yeah, I don't care. You're De'Aaron Fox. We're going to get you here and try and win a champion. Like, oh, no.
No.
Like, I'm cool.
No, I don't think that, but I don't think it would have been Zach LaVine. I think there would have been more options than that. And I think it would have been more like, we don't really care if you want to go to San Antonio. There's plenty of other places that we can send you.
Real quick. Let's stay there.
Oh,
I want to ask both of you guys this real quick. I know how people feel about the player and all this other stuff, not to sound like Bill Parcells or whatever. But talent-wise, do you think you could have got a better player than Zach LaVine?
Talent-wise?
Mm-hmm. That doesn't tell the whole story because he's too passive.
Doesn't tell the whole story
I'm just asking. Do you think you get a guy that can score 25 points a night for De'Aaron Fox?
I think I could get Jordan Poole for De'Aaron Fox.
Mm. I'd like Jordan Poole.
Mm-hmm.
So do I. And I think that's like right there.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say, are they different
than Zach LaVine?
Like acquiring?
No, but they make Jordan Poole makes $15 million less a year than Zach LaVine.
Okay, but doesn't he have an extra year on the contract?
Yeah, but I think you can finesse more people into Jordan Poole than you can Zach LaVine.
Understood. All right.
It's tough. Also, really quickly to stay on Clutch, because I wanted to get you guys' thoughts about this. It went totally under the radar. And my alarm bells were raised by mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see Rich Paul in the car?
Yes.
Talking to Phoenix?
Yes.
About Kaman Malawach?
Yeah.
My jaw was dropped, and I have so many questions now. Like, wait. So for everybody who didn't see it, Kaman Malawach, Duke Big, who may not even be able to come to the United States, like with all these ICE things. Like, I think South Sudan is on the terror watch list right now. Not Jeez. Even joking. That's yeah. true.
If they're throwing out Elon Musk, I'm not sure if he can get over here.
No, I don't know. He better not leave, and he better not have like stable place to get mail and just change up his movements on a day-to-day basis. And he's in Arizona. Yeah. This man's going to go to the Joe Arpaio tent city where they put people. Come on. Anyway, stay on track, Trista. So come on, Malawach goes 10th to the Phoenix Suns. A lot of people excited about him. He was somewhat mocked in the like somewhere between 6 and 12 range. Okay. So the video is Rich Paul talking to Phoenix. I thought this might be AI. And he is like, hey, are you guys planning to draft him if he's there at 10? And they're like, yes, he is our number one option on the board. And he goes, great, because this is Malawach's number one option as well. Hang tight. No promises, but I'm going to see if I can get him there to you. What does that mean? What does that mean? If I want, come on, Malawach, at 7, what are you going to say? Is he not showing up to camp? What are you giving me in return? I'm so confused.
So, Trista, one of the things, and you like really know the inside of all this stuff, right? Of all the basketball world. One of the things that I've learned as I got this job, got the show, talk to more people, and understand more about this, that I try to convey to people who aren't, like, in the know, like, I was a radio listener just like everybody else, right? And I didn't understand this. Is I think agents run these leagues more than people realize. Like, you want to get mad at Scott Perry and Monty McNair and all this other stuff. The Bill Duffys, the Rich Pauls, the World Wide Wests, those are the decision makers. It sounds crazy, and I'm not saying they have 100% power, but they have a lot of power to, like, move these players where they want to. Would you say the same thing?
Yeah, I would. And I just wonder, I know that he did it and I know that it happens. I'm just wondering the details. What are these details? What are these phone conversations like? What is the tit for tat? Is it like, oh, the next player that is a clutch client that goes here, like, we're just going to, in free agency, go somewhere else? Like, is that what that looks like? Is it the carrot? Is it the stick? Is it a blend? They're just a cartel, and I'm getting really uncomfortable with the clutch cartel.
But it's not just, it's not just clutch, though.
No, it's everybody, man. It's all these agents.
But I don't think, and I'm going to be a Bill Duffy.
Bill Duffy just doesn't air it on social media.
Bill Duffy, if you ask around, doesn't strong arm that way.
Okay.
But he strong arms.
He strong arms differently?
I don't think he strong arms, period. I don't think he strong arms.
All right.
Who was it that
Trista keeping her invite to the summer league party?
Who was hey,
we've been accused of being in Vivek's pocket for the last 24 hours, so clearly we know where TK's allegiance are lying.
Who was the agent?
Sticks are good.
Who was the agent that sent the Marvin Bagley letter on opening night?
That was
Wasn't that Bill Duffy?
Yeah.
What was the letter?
Oh, he famously sent a letter when the Kings said, I guess the Kings announced maybe that Marvin wasn't going to start, or maybe they said Marvin wasn't going to play.
Well, yeah, because wasn't the whole, we thought, we don't know if this was what was going on, but we thought they were going to trade Marvin in the offseason, and we were probably hearing things that had us thinking like, yeah, the Kings are going to work with other teams and Bill Duffy to get Marvin a new
fans,
team.
There's still hope.
To get Marvin a new team. We get to opening night. He's still on the Kings. And Bill Duffy, out of nowhere, publishes this letter just laying into the Kings for their treatment of Marvin Bagley.
Wow. Okay.
I'm trying to find it.
I'm gonna go on record and say that's not great. But also, if he moved like that, then Luka would not have been traded to the Mavs, from the Mavs to the Lakers behind his back, because they would have been terrified to do that to him.
Mm-hmm.
They just did it and just didn't ask him or talk to him. That's one of the most earth-shaking trades that we've seen in league history, and he didn't have any inkling about it.
Well, Tristan, neither did LeBron and Rich Paul either. You know, yes. Anthony Davis, they didn't know. They didn't know.
It's just robbing Nico. Just robbing
it
Nico.
Might be an outlier. Yeah, just robbing Nico. Just going to the coffee shop.
Somebody, I think it might have been like Gil's Arena or somebody on there was like, yeah, LeBron absolutely knew. What are we talking about?
Of course he knew. Of course LeBron knew. just robbing Nico. I bet you it was, but here's the thing that's interesting. Is the shockwaves that sent for LeBron and all this, like the clutch letter, the clutch, hey, you know, we understand they're building for the future, but
Jeff
LeBron
Schwartz, by the way. It wasn't Bill Duffy. It was Jeff Schwartz. It was Jeff Schwartz. Sacramento has informed Marvin Bagley he is not in the opening night rotation, which is completely baffling. It's clear they have no plans for him in the future, and yet passed on potential deals at last year's deadline and this summer based on value. Instead, they chose to bring him back and not play him, a move completely contradictory to their value argument.
See?
Sorry, Bill Duffy. Bill Duffy. This is Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah, stop slandering my man, Bill Duffy.
It wasn't slander. It was questioning.
Well, it was an accusation that was rooted in incorrectness.
Oh, it was incorrect.
I think what I'll say is before this, before we move on, I think he's the like a velvet hammer. I think he's just been around the league so long, had so many connections. But what I will say is everybody has good things to say about him. So I just, and everybody has bad things internally and externally to say about Clutch, except for the people who are in Clutch's pocket. But outside of them, Kenny. People are like, that's Kenny.
Kenny's in the pocket of Clutch and Vivek Ranadive.
That's right.
And apparently so am I. All because I don't care if they trade Malik. I'm in the.
That's all the Louis Vuitton you get.
Oh no, it's because it's because I tweeted for the first time in a year, and all of a sudden it's because Uncle V handed me a bag to get his agenda across.
Thanks, Uncle V. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the chain, Uncle V. Thanks for the chain.
Gonna need another Louis bag, dog. Gonna need another one.
Come on. I like Malik. He's just not good enough to be risking your career for.
Yeah, I'm with that. CNN has the headline that says deliberations to resume tomorrow morning after jury reaches partial verdict in Sean Diddy Combs' trial. Mm. I thought we were getting a verdict tonight.
I can see.
Your boy, someone's at your house.
It's just my mom walking out in the back looking at tomato plants.
What happens with Dame now?
He finally can get to Miami now, can't he?
That's certainly.
I don't like the way you said that either. That was. I don't like the way you said that, Tristan.
No, let me be honest. Let me be serious for a second. That is honestly one of the most disgusting ways to treat a franchise player that I've seen in a long time. To do it, and I know he had an injury, and that injury is for a whole entire year, and you're trying to your very best to keep Giannis happy and you want financial flexibility, that's fine. But the way it went down, for them not to even discuss it with him or work with them on it, and for him to find out on social media when he's a top 75 player of all time, and honestly risked his career to come back from deep vein thrombosis early to try to compete, because that's the kind of guy he is. When he had been dealing with a calf pretty much on and off for the last year and change, maybe from the playoffs before, it's just, it really is showing where these organizations' heads are at right now with the new collective bargaining agreement. That money now is, and financial flexibility and not wanting to lose draft picks or lose the ability to make specific kinds of trades is leading you to completely take the human out. And as much as I've made fun of Dame for leaving Portland and have somewhat reveled in him not winning a championship or even coming close, this is really wrong. And it was actually horrifying to see, because at this point you're rehabbing from an injury which is already so hard on its own. And now you are a man without a team. I was shocked.
Let me ask both of you guys this. Help me out here. If Dame wanted to stay in Milwaukee, like really wanted to, not I'm gonna stand 10 toes down because that's the type of man I am. You know what I mean? But like, I don't want to be here, but I'm not gonna leave. If he really wanted to be there, that is messed up. But if he was like, I don't really care if I'm here or not, like, ask me, in a perfect world, could I still get my money and leave? Yeah, I would do it. Then what's the problem? If that's how he felt. Mm-hmm.
The process, how it's done, right? Like, I think regardless if you want to be at a job or not, if they buy you out and you've got some years left on your contract and it happens in a way that blindsides you, that just feels very unethical. I think there's just a way to go about things. And yeah, like, the end result's the same. And he's still getting $120 million to literally do just nothing. To just chill. If he wanted to retire right now, he's getting that $120 million. If he wants to play on a veteran minimum, he's still getting that money. So that end result is still the same. I just feel like with a new ownership group, Milwaukee is sort of moving different. New ownership group, the Celtics are moving different, right? Mm-hmm. They're just click, 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 click. And I bet you the Lakers, when they get their new ownership in place, even with Jeannie Buss there, they will move different as well. And it's just a little bit disappointing in how they're moving.
Speaking of the Lakers, is there a market for LeBron James? Like, is there a realistic destination for LeBron James to go to this year?
Any place LeBron would sign off to go to would significantly hamper that team so badly that why would he even want to go there? Why would he want to be there? If you trade him to the Cavs, what are you going to trade him for?
It's probably Darius and someone else.
Darius, Jared Allen, some picks.
Yeah.
That team stinks now.
I'm probably not including picks, but I do think you can trade. Kenny's been on this one. If he wanted to, you could trade LeBron James for Karl Anthony Towns, and he's on the New York Knicks. That works. I think Karl Anthony Towns makes more money than LeBron James does.
If I'm the Lakers, why do I want to do that? Just because he's going to leave next year and I've got a center now, I guess.
I mean, like, clearly, if the relationship is over, like, execute the trade. Like, this is what's facing the Bucks. Just do it. Just rip the goddamn Band-Aid off and do it. Like, this whole, the Chris Haynes stuff, Giannis was not happy with how this went down. The Shams Charania stuff, Giannis helped recruit Miles Turner. It's like, yo, the writing is on the wall here. Like, everyone sees it. Giannis has not said anything publicly. That's the difference. But I feel like Giannis's moves are being made public, and I think that's strategic. He is this close to turning into Dwight Howard. If you remember Orlando and the Dwightmare that was that summer, from I want to be traded to I'm opting in to the contract extent to trade me, it was an absolute disaster that made that man look like an idiot. It made him look ridiculous. Giannis doesn't look like an idiot. But this dance is getting very, this dance is lame, and everyone knows it, yeah. And it feels like the more and more, again, this stuff isn't getting out by accident. It's not Giannis doing it, but Giannis having a meeting with the Milwaukee Bucks wasn't put out by the Milwaukee Bucks. Fact. Just and do top, it.
On top of that, I would say, to your point, anybody who's a real NBA fan and is in the weeds on it, we're pretty tired of Giannis and his nonsense. We've been watching Giannis go and do interviews with GQ and like autocollector.com and like being like, yeah, they don't surround me with winners and I'm just going to leave. It's like, well, why are you doing this in this platform, in this setting, in the summer, over and over and over again? Why are you so petty and going back and forth and being like, I'm not an underachiever. Here's all my championship trophies, yada, yada, yada. Like, Giannis is the most fake, and I have enjoyed every moment that I've spent around Giannis. This is not like a personal thing, and there hasn't been that many moments, but I think I've interviewed him twice or three times. He was nice in person, but his moves, he wants to be the nice guy, but he kind of operates like an a-hole. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just really is prodding and prying and like getting the news out. It's very sneaky. It's very, like, you're right, very close to being diva-esque, Dwight Howard-esque. And he's awesome. He's better than Dwight Howard. But his moves just are very alarming and very close to kind of being a bad saga for Milwaukee. And I think you're right, Damian. Just get the haul for him before, get the haul now before it's been too long that everybody knows they can fleece you because you're forced to do it.
This is the same thing I said 2 years before they traded Dame. Not to say that Portland got fleeced or anything, but like, we already knew where this was going to go. Like, should have traded him then. But it all worked out because they got Scoot and all this other stuff. Knicks trade that works. LeBron to the Knicks for Mikal, Josh Howard, and Mitchell Robinson.
I wouldn't
Josh
do that.
Howard.
It's too much.
Josh Howard.
It's too much. It's too much. You're not winning a title. I just trade Karl Anthony Towns.
I wouldn't trade Karl Anthony Towns because I need that third guy.
I'd do it.
I need, who's going to play center? Mitchell Robinson?
Sure.
Now he's going to be on the Lakers again. Like, if I'm LeBron, I'm vetoing it. No, I'm. Why would I do that and just be on the New York Lakers with no center, no nothing? No.
Well, that's because you hate Mikal. What if you get more out of Mikal?
Mikal, the Lakers playing Jackson. We sign Jackson Hayes to the Knicks.
Mikal isn't Jackson Hayes.
No, I'm telling you, sign Jackson Hayes to the Knicks because they don't have no center. It's to say, not to say that.
And Drew Eubanks is off the table.
He's off the table, bro. You ain't got Drew Rubin. You ain't going to make it happen.
Where's but Rashawn Holmes? The Knicks would
be, the Knicks lose cap. They'd be the same situation as the Lakers. So if I was LeBron, I wouldn't go.
I don't know about that.
You do need, yeah, and Mitchell Robinson.
It would be funny
point.
Going from Luka to Jalen, though. I didn't even think about that. It'd be funny going from Luka to Jalen.
Another ball dominant guard.
Yeah,
he's got to play with.
I think and Mitchell Robinson is so injury prone that you never you are very close to Jackson Hayes. Like, that's how close that is. Mm. Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere for him to go. I think that's just a bunch of nonsense. All that tweet.
Oh, this part. I know exactly what they can do. Get your boy. DeAndre Ayton ain't signed with nobody.
That's
your boy.
Everybody thought he was going to go at first.
Huh?
That's where everybody thought he was going to go as soon as he got bought out.
To Lakers. L.A.? Oh, yeah. Well, go to New York.
They got some bad clips of DeAndre floating around. Uh-oh. Basketball clips.
Uh-oh. Oh, My goodness.
Just like Jokic, KD, Booker, all fighting for a rebound, and DeAndre Ayton's just
watching.
Just standing there watching.
Jason Quick put out a piece about all the things that DeAndre Ayton wasn't doing and all the bad things. He was showing up late, not coming to PT, not getting on the plane. And that article came out, I think, yesterday. And I was like, well, probably a lot of teams either knew about that already or if they didn't. And I like DeAndre again. I like him. He's a nice kid.
I haven't seen him linked to anyone. Like, Drew Eubanks has to clear waivers. And then it's like, oh, he's already signing with Sacramento.
Well,
People are saying
Indiana.
No.
Indiana would be a great pickup.
Yeah, with Miles gone. Before. Sure.
You don't need that much out of him.
What do you?
Why would Miles want to go to Milwaukee? That's disgusting.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough look.
That's crazy for him. Ray Allen. Know, man, lose. Even though Miles Turner was spotty in the finals, but like to lose Turner and Halliburton.
Yeah, Siakam and Tyrese are going to be talking about this betrayal for years, decades even, just like Paul George, Paul Pierce. Yeah, not going to speak to him. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to do these like specials, these reuniting specials for the team that almost won the finals and just exclude him.
And to be honest with you, they'd be well within their right. I mean, why would you go to Milwaukee? You see how, you know, we had battles with them, and why would you come play for us?
What do you think happens with Jonathan Kuminga?
Well, we see
our dubs
that our dubs down bad. Losing Kevon Looney shocked me. They have no center, basically. They have what are they gonna get out? Horford? I think his value to the market is much lower than he believes. I think we're starting to see that. Is he a clutch client?
Is he?
Is he a clutch client?
I don't know. Stand by.
He seems clutchy to me.
Well,
doesn't he?
Let's see. Jonathan Kuminga, agent, wrist pull.
Yep, clutch client. Yeah, I mean, he'll get probably.
Right. Let me triple check that. Continue, sorry.
Triple check it. I think he'll probably do it. I think it'll be a Golden State sign and trade. Where he could go? Maybe Pistons?
Well, they got, what's his name? I mean, you can, I guess, use Oscar? Another big man. But they got my boy, Durin.
Yeah, but that, Jonathan Kuminga is like a four.
I'm still thinking of Ayton. My bad.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about Jonathan Kuminga.
That'd be a good look. That'd be, yeah.
I mean, they've got Oscar. Yeah. He's kind of like an Oscar sort of a vibe. But
Aaron Turner is Jonathan Kuminga's agent.
Okay, Aaron Turner.
I'm not super familiar with Aaron Turner.
Neither am I. Who? Yeah. Where is he?
Does it say Versus?
Oh man, Jonathan Kuminga. It's not even with
Burris. Burris management job. Team. Yeah.
Come on. Let the mom and pops live.
Come on, he's with the mom and pop shop.
Well, still probably, better than Ace Bailey.
Yeah, that's bad. The Omar Cooper. That was a bad move. If Ace Bailey was a clutch client, he would not be in Utah right now.
Yeah, that video taught us that.
They'd be like, let me get you to Washington. I don't know when the Wizards became a destination, but that's where Ace Bailey apparently wanted to go. That's wild.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? That's where he wanted to go. He wanted to fall to six.
Maybe he's a big history guy. He just wanted to go to the walk the National Mall every day.
go to the
National Archives.
Fan.
Yeah, yeah. Just
portrait
really
gallery.
Just sit out here and meditate by this Lincoln Monument.
I wanted to go to. Oh no, I think that's only Maryland. I was about to say go to eat at Royal Farms every day, but is that only Baltimore? I don't know.
I think that's a Baltimore. I think that's both Baltimore. Just watch.
Done it before, but yeah, no, I think it's funnier.
Are you kidding me? Damien's the kind of guy that would go to the African American Museum for like 4 days because he just wants to like take all the trauma in.
You should be ashamed of yourself. That's not exactly what happened. It wasn't 4 days.
It was three.
It was one and a half. That first floor though, yeah, that first floor is tough.
Woo.
That first floor is tough.
You almost need like a little like fresh air after the first floor. They almost need like a patio for the second floor.
Just so it's like, so what's crazy about like, because the first floor, like, it literally takes you through, it's the history, like it starts the bottom floor,
like the last,
this the last middle passage, the slaves, yeah. Like all of that, you walk through that, you see the shackles, you see the kids' shackles that they have, like it is brutal. No, there is no, as you're walking in, hey guys, this could be, you know, sensitive for some. Nope, you just walk through that, and as Trista says, you just take in the trauma. I don't know, I believe this is a regular part of the museum. I take it the Emmett Till room?
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
There is a very clear warning before you walk into that room. Understand what is in this room. And do not walk through it if you're not comfortable seeing it. Like, we were there with my niece and nephew when they were younger, and it was like, you can't come in here. Uh-huh. Like, you can't come in here. I wish I hadn't gone in there. Uh-huh. But, yeah, clear warning out there. Meanwhile, you go through that middle passage, and you need to put a warning there as to what you're going to see. It is awful.
You almost need to pop up to the fourth floor to take in the Oprah.
Yeah, right. Right. Can you show me the Michael Jackson outfits just for like 10 minutes, please? Show me the Eddie Murphy delirious costume and
the Oprah on the little the black and white TV on repeat just to show me her best moments. I can't. Yeah.
Just a palate cleanser.
It really is. Yeah. It's almost like you need the excellence in between those floors.
Right. Right.
Just to kind of like, okay, we made it out.
Yeah.
Like it's.
You don't get to. I mean, think about it. You don't get much happiness till you get past the 60s. When you talk about the African American History Museum, like, you're walking through the water hoses and the lunch counters, and it is intense, man. It is intense.
They don't spare any details either. They, it's like being inside the diorama.
Yeah, one of my finance people, like, they were a big contributor to that, and man, the work that they put into that place is just extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Go now before someone tries to like shut it down.
Jesus,
this guy. We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on with us. This free
Love
agency
you.
Sucks.
It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
It's a lot, but it ain't what I wanted.
It's a water hose. What did you want?
I don't know. Trades? I don't know. Something else.
I think
Russell Westbrook is what I wanted.
I think.
Of course you did.
I think we still got two.
Like
KD did get traded, and I think we got at least one move coming. Still to come.
LeBron or Giannis?
I think LeBron getting traded, Tristan. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's smoke. I think it's really going to happen.
I hope so. I hope it does happen.
They want the airplane story so bad.
Yeah, they do.
They want the airplane story so bad.
Okay, can we give it to them? Can I give it to them?
We have to break. Like you
all
can.
Right, we'll break and we'll give it to you. Okay,
I'll come back. All right. Trista's not going anywhere unless major news breaks. She'll give you the full airplane story as to why she missed last Tuesday here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we started this conversation almost an hour ago. Trista Crick discussing all things Sacramento Kings, free agency, Dame Lillard being waived.
Drew Eubanks,
who is the newest member of your Sacramento Kings, and LeBron James. However, there are many people who would like to know why Trista wasn't here with us last Tuesday. And I made a little mention of what happened to the Chatty House. Radio audience didn't get this, I don't think. I think this was just during a commercial break. But they have been clamoring for the story of what happened last Tuesday when you were flying home.
First of all, I wasn't even supposed to fly Tuesday. I was supposed to fly Monday. And Miami Airport is the worst airport I've ever been to. I think
awful.
They just really want to be the least helpful that they can possibly be. So I'm taking Ollie with me because he's 5 months old and he can't live without me. So I'm flying with him. I got all of his paperwork. I did all the due diligence. Everything's set. I get to the desk hour ahead of time, more. And the woman is like just befuddled. Can't figure out how to get him processed. Can't figure out the paperwork. And then by the time you know it, she says, oh, well, we don't have time now to process your bags. So you just missed this flight.
Wait, you just missed the flight.
And I'm like, what? You could have told me that. You could have just checked me in. I would have figured it out after the... Oh, no, can't do that. Got to process the dog before we process anything else. Get you your boarding pass. They won't even give you your boarding pass until you process the dog. It's just a mess. Won't book me on a new flight, so I have to call a travel agency who did it. And they're like, you're done. Like, there's no more flights tonight. You have to fly out tomorrow. And also, tomorrow's flights are pretty much all sold out.
That's crazy.
So I'm like, oh, my God. So I get a flight the next day, stay at the hotel in the airport, call Delta again. This is Delta's fault, all of it. Delta, I've already sent a letter. And so, hey, making sure that all these paperwork is set. I missed my flight. I need to make sure it's done. Yep. Get to the desk. First and foremost, I know that this is going to take a long time and there needs to be some excellence and competency here to just process him for some reason. So I go to the Sky Priority desk. There's nobody behind me in Sky Priority. Yes, I know I don't have enough MQDs. Yes, I know I'm not a Sky Priority member. I get to the desk. They look at my passport. They say, oh, sorry, ma'am. We can't help you. You're not Sky Priority. Mm. I look behind me. There's no one there. There's three people at their Sky Priority desk. There's one person at the general boarding desk. There's over 150 people in line for the general. No people in line for the Sky Priority. I'm like, oh, my God. And they are reveling. There's other little ones that are chirping. Yep, can't help you. Nope, Delta policy. Nope. I'm trying to get in line. I'm trying to cut in line. Hey, can you? Nope, can't. Somehow I finagle my way to the desk. Get to the desk. Woman clearly lost. She starts working on processing Ollie. And then she's like, hey, Linda, I got this woman's bags over here, and she's military, and I couldn't blah, blah, blah. Can you help me with that? I'm like, well, I'm not military, so I don't know who you're talking about because you're supposed to be working on me right now. What? So that's taking 20 minutes. I'm starting to get freaked out because of the whole bag thing the night before. I'm like, I'm going to miss this flight again. 2 minutes, literally. We've got 120 seconds until I miss the deadline again. She's like, oh, looks like you have 6 pets in cabin. You've got an oxygen tank. No, I don't have any of those things. I have to pay for the pet in cabin. I'm like, I'll get my money back later. We just got to get this. I got to get on this flight. Got to get on this flight. I'll save you the long story short. We get on the plane. This is the short version. I get on the plane. I'm in Minneapolis. We have a layover in Minneapolis. Barely make that. Again, more problems with the dog. Get on my aisle seat, and we've got two husband and wife duo over 300 pounds each spilling into my seat. I am like, oh, my God, this is just nightmare city. By the way, you're supposed to buy an extra seat if you spill into somebody else's seat. But, hey, whatever, I guess. There's no other seats. So I see this couple and the – flight attendants don't want to deal with me because they've got this old couple that they're dealing with. And the woman wife wants to sit next to her husband, which is totally normal. But I'm looking at the husband and I say, he doesn't look good, this guy. He's got he's the one with the oxygen tank, not me. And they finally get them to sit together. When they move him over to his new seat, he doesn't just get up and move on his own. They've got a Weekend at Bernie's him. They've got to slide him over. Like, he's full weight, and they've got to move him. So I'm like, okay, this is not good. But they do it, and it's not my life. And he's literally one. No, I'm in 21, he's in 19. So he's two rows in front of me. So I'm watching my Love Island. We take off. Everything seems to be fine as much as it can be. I look down somehow. I don't know why. And there is a crowd of people surrounding my seat. 8 people I counted. Bunch of nurses, doctors, and flight attendants. All homie with the oxygen is now laid down on the aisle. I watched them rip his shirt off. Just like ER. And they start compressions on him. And you've got the machine. Beep, beep, beep. Stop compressions. Administer shock. They've got to shock him with the paddles. 5 times. They're working on this man for almost an hour. And he is, I'm talking about like inches away from my shoes. Inches. I can't even go. you would think that maybe because you can't do anything about it, you would go back to what you were. No, you can't do that. You were just locked in on, like, hopefully this guy lives. This kid, 15 years old, in the aisle next to me, me and him are looking at each other, just ghost. What do we do here? I've never experienced anything like this. They cannot find a pulse. I do not see him breathe ever. Never. His wife is totally sanguine, like this was just expected. And they're like, all right, 20 minutes till we land. They never stop doing compressions. They never stop doing the paddles until we have an emergency landing in Montana, in Billings, Montana, where the paramedics come. They also do compressions. They put a tarp underneath him. They slide him when they stop compressions in between. With the tarp, they just pull him on the carpet off the jetway. Continued compressions, I guess. We stay on the jetway or on the, like, landing area strip for two and a half hours. Because why? Because we've used all of our oxygen on him. They put oxygen in him. They gave him an EpiPen, two EpiPens. They put an IV in him. All of this is happening, like, less than 6 inches from me. And we are all shaken up. And we don't know when we're going to leave. TSA won't let us leave because we've used all of our stuff that you would normally need for, like, an emergency landing or if you crash or whatever. So they've got to, like, allow us to leave without that stuff. We landed with a full tank. So I think it took me – I don't think he lived, by the way. It was horrible. Mm. And I talked to the nurse, and I'm like, hey, do you think that guy could have made it? And she just shook her head no. So I texted Damien. I go, sorry, I can't make the hit. The guy died on my flight in midair. So that's the story.
Good reason why. That's crazy you were in the air. I thought you were
on the runway
and this happened.
They literally were continuing to do compressions as we landed. They were like kneeling over him, just chook, chook, chook. And I'm thinking, and I'm, you know, I don't know anything about the medical field, but I'm thinking to myself, he's dead. He went gray in front of me. Why continue this ruse? I guess you have to. There's no way he was coming back. I think he might have had a heart attack on the plane. He had a pacemaker. He was pretty old. It was awful. I've never heard of anything like this. We went and got my bags, me and Ollie, and people were talking about it. And they didn't have any idea because they were way in front. And I'm like, oh, you didn't know what happened? Oh, yeah, the guy was just collapsed right there in the aisle.
Gracious.
Jeez. I know, very sad story. Very sad story, but also very dramatic.
Not one single Shams tweet during that story, just for those that were wondering.
Good.
Shams cleared the floor. Shams cleared the floor and let.
I texted him ahead of time.
Oh, that was good.
I texted him.
Did you text him yesterday at 3 o'clock when he didn't tweet anything for like 30 minutes?